Welcome, John.
All right, hi. I'm John. I'm an alcoholic. Thank you very much, Desiree, for chairing the meeting today, and for all of you to be here and help me, participate in my sobriety. Get the basics out of the way. My sober date is January 14th, 2007. So, by the grace of God and Alcoholics Anonymous, I haven't felt the need nor the desire to pick up a drink in 16 plus years. And for that, I'm eternally grateful. Today, going to speak on step 11. Let me just say it sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry it out. So, three distinct parts in there. But before I can speak about step 11, I just need to speak about Alcoholics Anonymous as a whole. When I do that, I always start talking about step 12. And I'm not going to go into 12, but I just need to read it to having had a spiritual awakening, the first part of step 12. As a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and practice these principles in all our affairs. Before I could honestly pray, meditate, try to build the relationship with God, my higher power, who I choose to call God, I needed to go through the 12 steps. I mean, I started with my prayers and meditation, certainly, but my relationship with my higher power, my understanding of my higher power, my ways of praying to my higher power was much, much different in the past than it was in the what it is as I came through this. And I needed to ultimately, I wanted a spiritual awakening. So AA 12 steps are inside, they're circular. I'm always doing them. I have to do all my steps. Prayer and meditation is a an important part of it. I will tell you that prior to January 14, 2007, when I came into Alcoholics Anonymous, my relationship with God was superficial. I prayed, I believed in God because I was born into a family that was a Catholic that believed in God, and they taught me prayer and they taught me all the right things. But in all honesty, I would tell you, oh, I believe in God. And yeah, for the most part, I was going to church or I wasn't. But my belief in God was one of in name only. It was superficial. I did not even pray properly to my God. What I prayed for was, what did I want? When did I want it? Or what did I want to get or not have taken away from me? And even when I prayed, it was by rote. I had known some prayers that I was taught in my 8 years of Catholic education through grade school, and I said those prayers through rote, just saying them, had to finish them. Had to get on and move on to something else. And that's the way I lived my life. I didn't have a relationship with my higher power. And so I didn't think of anything in that respect. And so I needed to hit my bottom in order to be able to come to the conclusion that one, God was with me all along, and that I needed to change my relationship with my higher power. And that change in my relationship with my higher power meant that I needed to develop that conscious contact, that I wasn't just doing things on my own. And oh, when I hit a bump, let me now bring God into the equation, say a foxhole prayer or whatever it was, but to have that relationship. And that bottom was necessary for me. Maybe other people, it isn't. And let me just back 1 second here. What I speak about here is my experience with the 11th step, my experience and my relationship with my higher power. It may be different for each of you, And I don't say that my way is right and your way is wrong, or vice versa. Whatever has helped us to be able to have that relationship with that higher power, that conscious contact of on a daily basis as we're doing things, know what I'm doing is the right thing, know what I'm doing is not the right thing, and stop. I have to develop that conscious contact. But for me, I needed to hit my bottom. And what was my bottom? Look, on January 14, 2007, I came to in a jail cell for a DWI. I'm not proud of that. And what I'm even more so not proud of, that it wasn't my first time. But every time that previously that I had had a situation like that, all the other times, immediately the foxhole prayers came. How do I get out of this? What can you do for me, Lord? Get me out of this one and I'll never do it again. Just let me deal with this. That was the extent of it. But on the morning of January 14, 2007, when I came to and I realized where I was and what had happened again, two thoughts came into my head that never, ever had come into my head in all the time that I was drinking and facing any consequences, and also in any of my other daily activities that where I should have relied on my higher power. But that first thought that came into my head when I woke up that morning, or came to that morning, was, John, I think you have a problem. And the second thought was, I wonder if that thing called AA could help. Now, I didn't know anything about Alcoholics Anonymous. I knew it existed. I heard what it was roughly about, but because I did not think I was an alcoholic, I never found anything about it. I found my way into the room shortly after that, and I found out that it is a spiritual program. I found out that the first step is admitting we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives have become unmanageable, and that two, came to believe that a power greater than myself can restore to sanity. I believe that that was my higher power on the morning of January 14th who put those thoughts into my head and said, John, you need to change if you're going to survive. Because I was 48 years old. I had been drinking for 34 years and it wasn't getting any better. So that was an awakening for me. And that I didn't say, I'm not saying I had a bright light experience or anything like that, but I knew that I did not have a relationship with my higher power. And I came into Alcoholics Anonymous and I heard that it was a spiritual program, not a religious program. And it said, a God of your understanding. Now, I still am in the faith that I was in when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, the faith that I was born in. But my perception of God today is so much different than what it was. And I tell sponsees or newcomers when I'm talking with them, they tell me, Bob, but you know, I don't believe, or that. So just believe that it's not you. There's something besides you that needs it. And if you're going to have a happy, joyous, free life, be able to live life, because my problem was not that I just drank. My problem was I didn't know how to live life without drinking. And developing that relationship with my higher power, that conscious contact that told me, you're all right, John, you're at where you're supposed to be at. If you come along a bump or bruise, God is right here with you. If you're talking with him and have that relationship, it's going to be a lot easier to get through it than if I don't have that. And all of a sudden it's like, well, wait a minute, I haven't spoken to my God, my higher power in who knows when. Now I had to do a reintroduction, make sure that he knows who I am, and that some of the things that I did for a while were not so bad. It's kind of like when you have a sponsee and the sponsee is not calling you because he says, hey, everything's going pretty good. I don't have to call you. I've got this. I'm in control. But then all of a sudden, when the problem happens and they really should reach out to you, they don't, because, well, you know, now I'm a little embarrassed. I haven't spoken in a while. I haven't talked to you, and I feel uncomfortable. Well, that's what step 11 to me is developing that relationship on a daily basis from the time I wake up in the morning until the time I go to bed at night, I'm talking to my higher power. And it's much, much different than it was ever before. And as I say, these steps are, all intertwined, and we have to do all of the steps, and they're designed in order from 1 through 12. But as someone once told me, you can do right when you come in all the steps that begin with one. Step one, step 10, can always apologize to somebody if I immediately make a mistake. I don't have to wait and say, sorry, I'm not at step 10 yet. So therefore I can get away with things. And I can start praying right away. And so in the beginning, I had to learn how to pray. I had to change my mindset from that, God, get me this. I want this tomorrow. I'd like this to happen. Oh, I know what you want, Lord. So just let me pray to you to get that. And the bottom line is, I don't know what's going on. That's the step three part. And I've got to turn my life and my will over to the care of God as I understand Him. So if I'm saying that I'm going to do that, to turn my will and my life over, then how can I, in my prayer and meditation, say, well, now I want to have my daughter get this job. I want this person to not be sick. Of course, I want that. That's natural that as a loving parent or as a friend or whatever, you want to be able to do stuff. But you know what? I don't know if that's the way it's going to work out. Things are going to work out however they're going to work out. So my prayers, when I wake up in the morning, first thing I'm doing is I thank God that I am waking up, because there was no guarantee that when I went to bed the night before that I was going to wake up. So I have to thank God when I wake up in the morning for letting me be there. And I also say, hey, thank you for letting me wake up sober. I remember what I'm doing this morning. I remember what I plan to do today. Although I have to tell you, I recently turned 65. And so therefore, sometimes my memory doesn't allow me to remember exactly what I had planned for the day. But I do remember to say my prayers in the morning. And like I say, I'm grateful for waking up. I'm asking, what do I have to do today? Let me not get ahead of my skis. Let's not start thinking about what am I going to do tomorrow? What's going on next week? Yeah, those are all things that are there. I have to take the action today, which is going to help me do what I need to do next week or what I need to do next month or whatever. But again, since there's no guarantees, I have to stop worrying about it. I have to stop praying, God, make this happen, make this happen. Because I know if you only let this happen today, 3 weeks when I'm standing in front of X, Y, and Z, then it'll work out better. I may not even be in front of X, Y, and Z in 3 weeks and so forth. So I have to thank that I'm awake, thankful that for my health as best as it is, and to give me the opportunity to do what I'm supposed to do during the day. Nothing more, nothing less. Try to go out there and accept as things are going to come. And that's the second part then that I start to get into in my prayers after I'm thankful for getting up and, letting me remember what I need to do today, is that, hey, things may not go the way that I expect them to go. I can tell you, I'm going through a home construction project right now that should have been done a long time ago, and it's not exactly going my way. But guess what? I can't control it. The only thing I can do is, what do I have to do today? And let me accept whatever the outcome is going to be, and then do the next right thing afterwards. That's what I need to do. So getting up in the morning, asking for the guidance during the day. I do say, I'm going to backtrack here a little bit. I have the prayers of my religion that I grew up in, and those are incorporated in it. Some are just speaking to God and talking to Him about different things on a one-on-one basis. I do have the third step, the seventh step, the 11-step prayer as part of my morning routine. And then I go through the day trying to be the best person that I can. And I know, again, this is step 11, not step 10, but because I have, I hope, a better conscious contact with my higher power today, when I do something wrong, I'm aware of it pretty quickly. not always, but pretty quickly. But my step 10 is a heck of a lot better because of my step 11. By that prayer and meditation that I'm doing, it makes me know when I did something wrong. And I was saying this, I may not always know what the next right thing is, but I certainly know pretty much what the wrong thing is to that I shouldn't do. But sometimes I do the wrong thing, and I got to make an amends for it. But at the end of the day, when I'm going to bed at night, hopefully, if I've done anything during the day that was against the will of my God and my understanding, and I didn't rectify it, well, when I'm praying at night, I'm also looking at kind of the day, and I'm doing an inventory of the day. It's not a step 10 inventory. It's a step 11 as part of my prayer and meditation. Lord, thanks for letting me, having got through this day. How good was I? Did I keep in connection with you? Did I do the things that I was supposed to do? Could I have done better? And what do I need to do for tomorrow? And some things I may need to do to tomorrow, which get into my immediate list, is, you know what, John? You didn't treat so-and-so properly during the day. And guess what? You didn't do a prompt step 10 where you immediately said to that person, you know what, that's not who I am. That's not who I want to be. And I made a mistake. I need to rectify that in the morning. And so sometimes I actually write it down because, again, that memory of mine is there's a built-in forgetter there, or it's old age, or whatever. But, you know, sometimes I'll write down at night and say, you know what, I need to see that person. And I make a point of seeing them. And it's not easy, but that's where my relationship with my higher power is today, that it wasn't before. And it allows me to do these things. And I'm far from perfect. Trust me, I certainly know that that I'm not. But I'm a lot better than I ever was. And that's what's important to me. And you know, the step 11 is in addition, you know, so the prayers I'm talking about there, and that is the talking to God. But then the meditation part, what is that? And I'm not, you know, the best one on the meditation. And as a matter of fact, Joe, my one of my sponsees, gave me some guidance on meditation because he's more experienced at it than me. And it's staying in the moment. You know, when I'm praying, I'm talking to God. I'm asking God to get me through things, or thanking God for what has gone on. And you know, hey, if it's His will or it's His decision that something turn out, but that's me doing a one-way conversation, and I'm not listening to God. And that's where the meditation for me comes in, and where I try it as best I can to be able to take a quiet time where I know that I'm not going to plan to have any calls coming in or any work that I'm going to have to be dealing with, and just sit in quiet by myself, trying to be aware of what's going on in the moment. And this is where Joe gave me some guidance, you know, be aware of my breath, be going in and then my breath coming out, because my mind can wander. You know, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to do this for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever time is going to be. And I thought of a whole lot of things, and maybe that's, you know, what I'm supposed to be at that particular moment. Maybe that is God's way of saying to me, you know, you got something that needs to be addressed, and you know, I have to think about it and look at it. So I try to do that. But all of those things, you know, the main purpose of me, when I came to Alcoholics Anonymous, my first thought was, I just don't want to drink again. And that's what I thought it was. But what you have taught me is that living life without the drink, how am I going to behave? And the best way that I'm going to behave is by having that relationship with my higher power. You know, I'm not proud of it, but some of the times, you know, I remember when I was younger, and my mother would say, "Oh, you know, I raised four children," and I was so arrogant that I said, "No, you know, you had four children, but I'm the only one that look at what I've done and look at where I'm at." And I believe that. I believe that was because, you know, I had this work ethic, or I had this idea of what I was supposed to be doing, and so I thought I was better than some of my siblings in different areas. And you know, the truth was, none of my siblings have ever been arrested for a DWI. None of my siblings have had the problems that I had. And I truly believe that relationship that I had or didn't have with my higher power caused me to act in the way that that I acted. And if I want to be on a spiritual plane, if I want to be fit for, you know, maximum service to other alcoholics, I need to be in a better position. And then for me, that's only going to come through prayer and meditation. So it's not a one and done, like all of our steps. You know, I have some sponsees that say, you know, just take me through the steps. That's all I need. You know, is it going to be 1 week, 5 weeks, 6 weeks? Just take me through, and then I'll be good to go. And I'm glad that today I realized that that's not what it is. I, you know, someone many years ago that I heard, being, he was a very high level football player, and somebody said to him, "You know, you look fantastic. You know, it's the off season. Don't you ever take some time to, you know, just relax, get a little bit out of shape?" And he said, "No, it's a lot easier to stay in shape than to get in shape." And that to me is with my program of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a lot easier for me to stay here one day at a time doing what I'm doing than to come in or come back to Alcoholics Anonymous. For 34 years, my story, you know, that story that I said, waking up in the jail cell, or coming to the jail cell when I was 48 years of age, the very first time I drank at age 14, I didn't get arrested, but I came to from a blackout. And fill in the 34 years in between that. And there's a lot of ups and downs. And the common theme was, I was trying to run the show. I was trying to do what I thought I needed to do to be me. And I thought that, okay, I came into this world. My parents taught me that there was a God. I believe in God. I'll see him on the way out. And as long as I don't do things too bad in between, I should be able to square it. That's the arrogance and the confidence that I had. But how am I living my life on a daily basis? That is what's important to me. And that's what I got by coming into Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's why I say all the steps are linked together. I had to really hit my bottom to know that I needed to rely on somebody other than myself. And that voice that told me on the day that I came to in the jail to go to Alcoholics Anonymous, I believe was God. And when I got here, and the people told me, "This is a spiritual program, John. You can't just say you believe in God. You have to have a relationship with your higher power, and you're going to have to trust your higher power." And that's where the step three came in. But all of it is my conscious awareness and contact with God. And that comes through the daily prayers and the daily relationship with it. So I wouldn't trade anything of where I'm at today for what I thought I had or what I was doing prior to January 14, 2007. It's much better today. I can tell you, I truly enjoy when I wake up in the morning knowing that the first thing before I even get out of bed, I'm just already the thought comes into my head. And that is something that I had to work on. And throughout the day, I walk a lot on the treadmill, and I can't tell you how many times as I'm walking on the treadmill, I'm saying the Serenity Prayer. I'm saying, prayers of my religion. I'm talking to God. You don't have to do it everywhere. People feel, well, it's not, I can't get up in the morning. It's hard. There's people around. No, I can talk to God in the car. I can talk to God when I'm working and multitask a little bit and talk to God if I'm running through some problem. That is where it is. And so I don't want to just keep saying similar to what I've said before. Thank you, Desiree. And I'm going to wrap it up here in with this. I am very grateful that I came to Alcoholics Anonymous. I got so much more out of Alcoholics Anonymous than I ever thought that I was going to get when I came in. And because I developed a relationship with my higher power through prayer, through meditation, through guidance by people in the program who told me that there is a solution, but it's a spiritual-based solution, and that's what has to be worked on. And I would never have been able to work on that if I didn't develop that relationship with my higher power and pray and meditate. So, is it perfect? Possibly not, but I'm a heck of a lot better than I was on January 14, 2007. I haven't come to in a jail since then. I haven't been in a physical altercation. I haven't been asked to leave any establishment. That is pretty good. So again, thank you all very much for letting me share. I hope that I said something that that you can relate with the step 11. And if not, hopefully in your breakout room, somebody else will share a little something that that makes sense. So thank you.